Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Hey, I know I've got new listeners lately due to my sports Scales of Truth. Those are indicated with SSOT and whatever the headline is. But my bread and butter is serious topics. Most of my over 300 episodes are serious topics. By the way, if you are sports Scales of Truth listeners and like my rapport with DeMarcus, I also am a co-host on Chemology 411. So you go check that out. It's I'm not the decision maker. I'm there as a sounding board. We just talk about all kinds of things. But anyway, you can go listen to me over there. But this is a serious topic, so cover your ears, folks, if they're going to bother you. Sometimes it's politics. Sometimes it's deep conspiracies. In this case, it's kind of a combination because I've said for 25 years that everything is politics and is only going to become more so. But it's not directly politics. And it's not directly conspiracy as far as me discussing the details of the conspiracy, but it's about medications. It's about non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen. Of course, these have come up in the news recently with the RFK Jr. press conference and Tylenol and autism and that link with pregnant mothers have too much of it. So I have covered that recently, but this is a continuation not of that particular aspect, but of a broader aspect about you would be surprised at exactly what these do, and is it just Tylenol? Answer, no, it's not. So we'll discuss that, including letting you listen to a video from a doctor regarding the various damaging effects and their mechanism. But quickly, I want to tell you the anecdote from where I first discovered this cause several years ago. So I know somebody close who is into food supplements. I mean, you know, things like eating the right type of food, plus also then whatever capsules to take, you know, like magnesium and, you know, vitamin D3 and calcium and how those all work together structurally and everything else. Any number of other things. Or apple cider vinegar, who knows what, turmeric, what all might be, but this person would be talking about supplements and having their regimen as much as I would, and just a little older than me, did have a somewhat physical job, but nothing like they're, you know, lifting boxes all day. All of a sudden, they start breaking down. Supposedly, eventually we go, well, the reason maybe for the breakdown, like I'm talking shoulders, I'm talking wrists, elbows, forearms, hands, knuckles starting to swell, and I just don't get it. I'm like, whenever I've had things in the past, I continue to take my supplements, stay a little bit active. It can take a while to heal, but it always heals. So I've had sciatica, went away, but it took a while. It took about a full year before I could even break into a jog again. I've had a locked up back that took, you know, quite a while. Couldn't do much of anything. Where it thinks maybe you're going to damage a nerve because of something you did, and so it just locks up just to be extra protective. I've had a frozen shoulder where if I were to try to put my hand straight behind my back to the small of my back, it would not get there. It couldn't clear my buttocks. That's how much it was frozen, and that took a year or so to heal, but it did. I've had a couple knee issues where, okay, I was for some reason fascinated with the idea of holding my stomach in tight while I ran. And then later on I go, why do I have knee problems? I don't have knee problems. And I realized, oh, this could be connected. I'm not letting my hips swivel. And sure enough, my knees have been good ever since. I've had Achilles tendon issues where I have bounced off the front of a rowing machine too vigorously as part of my form. And therefore I was doing micro stretches because it was already fully stretched when I came forward and bounced against it. Both Achilles tendons were going bad. Those fully healed. So I've had these things, but this person just as big into supplementation, all this, and they're breaking down, then breaking down further. At first I hear, okay, at their job, well, it's not super vigorous. There's a certain thing that they do where they basically just brute strength it, and someone much bigger is on the other end of this job. Much bigger than this person I know. And it's like, oh, well, that probably messed up your shoulders. Maybe that's part of it. I think they even got money out of it. But anyway, you know, then I think, yeah, but at some point he stops that job. And then he doesn't heal, and then he doesn't heal, and then he doesn't heal. And I don't even understand how he can get this frail and have such a bad injury where he can't open a jar or he has a hard time holding up a can with one arm. I just don't get how it can possibly be. And then I piece it together. It turns out that, like anything, or most everything with our medications, our over-the-counters, and our prescriptions, initially they're made to be used in a very specific case. And that's it. And that, in that specific case and that low usage, the risk-reward works in our favor. But then eventually the marketing arm gets a hold of it. And they try to make that medication that person's daily friend. And they call it meds, not drugs. And they're just constantly trying to get market share because that's what corporations do. Try to increase market share. So they do not push what the scientist knows to be true. Now, this is good when it's taken rarely. It's not so good when it's taken a lot. So it turns out that these NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, lead directly to tendon damage and ligament damage, which is exactly what he was having. And he's someone who has kind of an addictive personality, who had that when he was younger with, what do you call it, illicit drugs, but grew out of that, grew responsible, but has always tended to go to the medicine cabinet upon first, sign of pain. Really bad for you. So NSAIDs, among other things like kidney failure and liver problems, literally toxic to your kidneys, can destroy your tendons and your bones and your ligaments. Seems real smart, huh? So let's get to that. I'm going to let you listen to a video first. And this video is from a Dr. Yessa, I think. Sessa, S-E-S-S-A. So let me find that real quick and let you listen to that. Here we go, right here.
Dr. Sessa, why should you stop taking ibuprofen?
All right, so ibuprofen, everyone thinks that just because you can buy it in a pharmacy, it's like harmless. Not true. So ibuprofen can do two things that are really bad to you. So number one, it can wreck your kidneys.
Pause. He didn't say it can affect your kidneys. He said wreck your kidneys. Now let's listen to the next part closely.
I met people that have taken too much ibuprofen over the course of 3 to 4 days and needed kidney dialysis afterwards.
Okay, 3 or 4 days. So these people aren't taking it because they're getting high. They just think, okay, well, I'm in especially a lot of pain. So for these 3 or 4 days, I'll just take a lot more than maybe the label says. And they don't look at the fine print. And he didn't say they're sick for a while. He said kidney dialysis, but continue.
The reason for that is ibuprofen will cause changes in the blood flow to your kidneys.
Okay, now stop. Changes in the blood flow to your kidneys. The body is set up a certain very particular way. The kidneys are highly important. They're the filtration body of your system. The filtration system of your body, rather. And blood flow to any particular organ is obviously important. Blood flow is important everywhere for that organ, for that system to work well. So, and it's a very, if you will, designed, laid out, if you will, thing, even though nobody has to believe in intelligent design. It's not what I'm saying. But it is matched up to the system. It's very important, as is. And what did he just say? It changes the blood flow to the kidneys. Hello?
And when it changes the blood flow, it causes blood to back up in your kidney, and it can...
Blood flow backing up in your kidneys sounds like a toxin to me.
It causes congestion, and that chronic congestion in your kidneys will actually cause it to fail.
It'll cause it to what? Fail. Fail. Not work as well for a while.
So that's one. Number two is in your stomach. Chronic ibuprofen use will actually strip your stomach of its protective thin coat layer of mucus. And when that happens, it can cause GI bleeding, ulcers, and other gastrointestinal issues that are not good.
He's going to go over alternatives. We're not going to listen to that right now. He does talk about alternatives. I'll let you listen to the video here after we discuss this. But I want you to hear about that. Now, there's mucous membrane. This tract is a very specific tract. And this tract is meant to take in nutrients and then work those nutrients to the effect it can get calories and micronutrients out of that macro intake of food. And then what it can't, it gets rid of it. Okay, this is a very important siloed system, if you will. Now, you are ingesting foreign materials. So it's very important that the boundary is very specific, a very strong, and very functional. And for that boundary is a mucus layer. And the mucus layer is damaged by NSAIDs. All right, so there's then a body text that goes with this, and I want to go over that. So this guy's name is Alberico Sessa, S-E-S-S-A. That's Alberico, A-L-B-E-R-I-C-O. Even at regular doses, NSAID pain relievers harm the kidneys, stomach, heart, bones, and tendons. So he says, hey, it's ibuprofen. It's not just acetaminophen. In fact, it's ibuprofen because it's an NSAID drug. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are derived from petroleum crude products like isobutylbenzene. Then he lists the various over-the-counters. I'm going to say the brand names first and maybe try just a couple of the more common and easy to say chemical names. But he lists over-the-counter and NSAIDs by prescription. So some brand names, Advil, Motrin, Aleve. I'm probably going to say all the brand names. Naprosyn, Arutis, Ponstel, Daypro. The prescription, Celebrex, Voltaren, Cambia, Lodine, Indocine, Toradol, Mobic, Relafen, Feldene, Clenoral. Some of the more chemical names, ibuprofen, naproxen, ketoprofen, oxaprozine. And I'm not going to say any more. Meloxicam is something that sometimes you hear. So anyway, there's a list. It's basically NSAIDs. Harms of ibuprofen and all NSAIDs reside in its mode of action that inhibits COX enzymes, COX. I don't know if you say that or if you just say the letters. COX enzymes or COX enzymes. Harmful to the kidneys. The COX enzymes are blocked by taking NSAIDs, causing acute renal damage by reducing prostaglandin production, which reduces blood flow to the kidneys. Sounds like a toxin to me. Okay, guys, classic idea of what is toxic, what is poisonous, would be as simple as, does it disrupt a major function or system or organ of your body? Yes, it does. This is a toxin. This is a poison.
Well, I mean, only if you take a lot of the poison.
Well, it's mostly uncontrolled. What are you talking about? Reduces blood flow to the kidneys due to reducing prostaglandin production. This leads to acute kidney injury. Sounds like a toxin. Chronic kidney disease, CKD, edema, hypertension, hyperkalemia, and nephrotic syndrome. Man, I know what that is. Does that have something to do with
tissues dying?
No, I'm thinking necrosis. So I'm not sure what nephrotic syndrome is. But all that is, you know, very bad damage to your kidneys. Harmful to the stomach. On a systemic level, NSAID use compromises the gut barrier. I'm going to talk about something that's related to this, which kind of blows my mind. It's going to show up here as well. It compromises the gut barrier by reducing protective mucosal prostaglandins, increasing intestinal permeability, and triggering inflammation. Now, this makes sense in that. Now, it's stomach. It's not a... Well, no, this is what they were talking about. It eliminates a delicate endothelial barrier, resulting in ulcers, leaky gut, and IBD, inflammatory bowel diseases. So you got a tissue, but you also know that you're going to be allowing a bunch of foreign material to be going through the system. And so the system is basically creating a barrier, right? Just a chute where things can't get to the rest of the body. So to protect that barrier, you've got mucus there, the proper types of mucus and mucous membrane. And instead, it reduces that mucosal prostaglandin, increasing intestinal permeability, triggering inflammation. I'm going to read the rest of this and then get to the extra emphasis I was going to say. NSAIDs eliminate the delicate endothelial barrier, resulting in ulcers, leaky gut, and IBD, inflammatory bowel diseases. Okay, leaky gut I want to talk about, and permeability. So again, this is, you start up here, and then there's a certain spot where we absorb, and then you keep going in your waste. Okay, never the twain shall meet. This system is not any other system, and except for the micronutrients that we pull from the food, which is a very specific function, the food stays in the system, stays in the chute. It is what it is. But guess what leaky gut is? Leaky gut is something that has damaged your system so much, and you'll hear it in just the chatter of all the side effects. It has damaged your system so much that a system that is made to isolate foreign material, food, from the rest of your body's functions now does not even have a good barrier anymore. Leaky gut can mean food particles get into the rest of your system. Do you understand how much damage that is? That's a lot of damage. It's now just floating around in the rest of your system. Now, inside that gastrointestinal, food's not going to create much problem because that's where it's supposed to be. But now instead, imagine you have food particles in the rest of your system. Well, it's foreign material. So what does your system typically do with foreign material? It responds with something from the immune system. The immune response either on a generic level or on a more specific level. So I'm going to repeat again this idea of the lining going away and the mucosal problem and leaky gut means that your food particles are now not in your gastrointestinal tract anymore. Now, they are foreign materials floating around in the rest of your body. When they are those foreign materials floating around in the rest of your body then sees foreign materials and has a general and possibly specific immune response, which leads directly to, ta-da, food allergies. Does that make sense? It totally does, right? So, I want you to think of how toxic something is. One more time, you cannot have a more important separate
system and function that says, no, 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 you never see us. Okay, you stay over there. We cannot interact with you. This is one building, that's another. You're in the building, I'm in the yard. Whatever's happening inside that building, I don't know. I hear you process something. But I'm not in that building, and the most I'll ever get to it is close to the outside wall. That's how much of a secure facility this is. The analogy to your gastrointestinal. Me being on the outside, I'm just somewhere else in your system, but not in your gastrointestinal. It's super important that it's a very secure facility. And all of a sudden, I now have a very secure building. Very thick walls. Not just thick walls, but internal membranes too. And other materials. Now I have holes in the walls. Because something did that. Hello? That's called a massive toxin. Harmful to the heart. The US FDA has a black box warning on NSAIDs since 2015 to alert customers to the increased risk of heart attack and stroke. NSAIDs damage cardiac cells. Seems like a poison to me. It damages cardiac cells by attacking mitochondria, which reduces energy production, increasing cell stress and causing a toxic buildup of proteins. Next, harmful to bones. NSAIDs disrupt osteoblast and osteoclast function, weakening bone healing and regeneration. This prevents fractured bones from healing fully and results in bone pain and increased risk for future fractures. So that is my acquaintance's story. How can you be taking all these food supplements and you're still breaking down more and more? It was chronic NSAID use because I know that the person used it. I just kind of got it into their habit and just never stopped, or nobody ever said, you know just how bad that can be. Oh, I've read something about kidney. I'm not worried about that. No, it's more than that. Harmful to tendons and joints. NSAIDs block COX enzymes. I don't know if they pronounce it as COX, which are responsible for collagen production. Kind of important. A critical component for joint, ligament, and tendon repair. Again, this,
take it every day, it's your friend.
Blocks the enzyme responsible for collagen production. And then you wonder why, when you take it all the time, your joints, ligaments, and tendons are damaged. So I'll let you listen again. And at the end, he says what else you could take. Actually, I'm going to repeat this part because I don't think it's a repeat. Instead, I think this may not show up in the video. Safe alternatives to NSAID pain relievers. Use natural remedies for fever and pain that have been implemented for centuries. Soaking in a tepid temperature bath and wash class with a little rubbing alcohol will break a fever. Did not know that. Herbs like arnica and turmeric will bring pain relief without any side effects or internal organ damage. All right, I'll let you listen to that video again, and then that'll be that. I'm going to have to pull it back to the beginning, though. Give me just a moment. Okay.
Ibuprofen.
Hey, Dr. Sessa, why should you stop taking ibuprofen?
All right, so ibuprofen, everyone thinks that just because you can buy it in a pharmacy, it's like harmless. Not true. So ibuprofen can do two things that are really bad to you. So number one, it can wreck your kidneys. I've met people that have taken too much ibuprofen over the course of 3 to 4 days and needed kidney dialysis afterwards. And the reason for that is ibuprofen will cause changes in the blood flow to your kidneys. And when it changes the blood flow, it causes blood to back up in your kidney, and it causes congestion. And that chronic congestion in your kidneys will actually cause it to fail. So that's one. Number two is in your stomach. Chronic ibuprofen use will actually strip your stomach of its protective thin coat layer of mucus. And when that happens, it can cause GI bleeding, ulcers, and other gastrointestinal issues that are not good. So alternatives that you can take are bromelain, fish oil, arnica. All of these things are anti-inflammatory and will help reduce it.
The centerpiece of the Pfizer papers is...
So, yes, that's that. There you got a preview of another one I might cover, but you didn't hear enough of it. So, behind the scenes of the Scales of Truth with Tyson. Welcome to the Backstage Pass, where I have videos in queue.
Like most of you, not very exciting. All right, guys, that's it for the Scales of Truth. NSAIDs, much worse than you thought. Do not take them regularly. Don't. Stop. Your kidneys are kind of important. Like kidney dialysis. Hello? Don't take them regularly. And when you do take them, really strictly limit it to the maximum dose that is appearing on the labels, the directions. And go a little bit underneath that just in case. But ideally, you're not someone who takes it even weekly. The marketing would say you should and are happy that you do. But marketing is full of a bunch of liars. So there's science and there's marketing. Hey, go listen to my episodes on GLP-1. I'm just reminded of that because as I hear, quote, science and marketing. Serena Williams is on a commercial now where she's sticking her stomach with one of these stupid GLP-1s. And I don't know. Some people will say GLP-1s are blah, 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 she says. She goes, but they're not. They're science. It's like, oh my gosh. Serena, you don't know anything. You got paid to say it's science. Again, references to the word don't mean anything without more. They're science. Or it was either that or it's science. Like, oh my Lord. Go read a book, man. I'm not saying you're dumb, but on the other hand, you know, you did basically live most of your adult life by learning about biomechanics and how to play tennis. So maybe you're not fully researched before you just go ahead and take on this sponsorship and say, it's science. Goodness gracious. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. Again, you can find my sports Scales of Truth episodes. Right now I'm indicating those with SSOT. And then the title should be obvious enough. If all of a sudden I'm mentioning, Tylenol, or I'm mentioning some journal article or something like that, obviously that's different than when I'm mentioning the Kansas City Chiefs or Major League Baseball in the title. So I trust you that if you don't want to get into the heavy stuff, or if you don't want to get into the light stuff, you can tell the difference. Kind of fun to be doing the sports one as well. And then for you folks who are new listening to the Scales of Truth due to the sports Scales of Truth episodes, please realize that I'm also on another podcast called Chemology 411 with Kim Schultz. She's a decision maker, but we've been doing that for over 5 years now. Every single week, and then even more episodes than that, actually. But regular cadence is every week. We've not missed even one episode. So a lot of episodes over there, too. Kind of a different flavor. Not sports, but does have that back and forth element. We actually just do that in person. We don't do that remote. So got that. Got my serious Scales of Truth. Got sports Scales of Truth. Between the entire library, you're talking about 600-ish 700, 800 different episodes. Okay, guys, again, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.